today as we come to the table.
They fall away because of the word. Here's how this happens. This is the type of person, they believe until they get around their friends. And they say, yeah, I've given my life to the Lord. And all that. What? You got religion on me? Well, I mean, you know, I start going to church and, you know, yeah, I go to church now. You mean to tell me you believe in God? You believe these things about God? You believe the Bible? What, a fish swallowed some guy and spit him up 3 days later? You think the earth was created in 6 days? What a fool you are. You really believe that stuff? Well, I mean, I'm kind of new at this. I can't believe, man, you used to be cool. What's going on with you? You know? Well, yeah, I mean, maybe I don't believe it that much. And then they walk away.
Finishing well matters. You can run an entire marathon in first place and lose it all in the last mile. The previous 25 miles will mean nothing. Anybody can have a great first day on the job, but will you continue to put in the effort day in and day out? Can you finish as well as you started? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God wants you to finish your Christian race well. He wants you to run every step with conviction until the day you cross over into eternity. Today, Pastor Mark warns that there will be pressure. You might get a cramp in your side halfway through. You might run out of water, and the sweat might be dripping into your eyes. But can you finish your race well? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Do you want to know him? Do you want to understand? If you don't, nothing's going to happen. You'll leave this place the same way you walked in. But if you want to know his word, you're not going to leave here the same way you came in. You're going to leave different, not only from what God says to you today, but the seeds that are going to be planted that'll sprout later down the road. And so he says, it's been given to you. He says, but to them it has not been given. That's because they didn't want it. For whoever has, notice this, I love this, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. He says, you know what? If you want to receive the things of God, if you want to understand God's word, if you want more of God, you're going to be given more. All you can handle, I will continue to increase it, God says. He says, if you don't want it, it's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and darker until finally you're going to be separated forever, for eternity from God. And that's why the choice we make is so important. But the exciting thing to me is if we do receive it, he would say, yes, I want what you have to give, Lord. If we do that, God says, I'm going to continue to give it abundance. You see, you already have an understanding if you know the Lord. God's already producing fruit in your life if you know the Lord. And what's cool is all this golden seed of God's word that's landing in your heart, it's going to produce more fruit down the road. And the more you read it, more fruit. And the more you hear it, more fruit. And the more you live it, more fruit. It just continues to go into abundance. And that's exciting to me. Again, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I used to think, and really for years into that, I love when you share the Lord with somebody and they give their life to the Lord. But sometimes when you're sharing with somebody, it's the first seeds that have been planted. And I would be the type to go, look, I want to plant this seed. I want to see this seed grow. And now are you ready to receive Christ? And it just never worked. It's like, you know what? It just didn't happen that quick. Plant the seeds and pray. It takes time for the seeds to grow. It takes time for God to work. Now, some of you had the opportunity in this room to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. You've shared the gospel with them. They've received it or whatever. You're like, wow, I led them to the Lord. Listen, yes, you are part of that process, but it's because somebody else already planted seeds a long time ago. It's because somebody else was watering that seed, and God gave you the privilege of being the one to bring in the harvest. And so I'm not taking anything away from that, but the reality is when we get a chance to pray and somebody gives their life to the Lord, it came with a lot of hard work from other people in their life up to that point. So when you're planting seeds in people's lives and in their hearts, wait, be patient, pray, know that it's going to take time for that seed to bear fruit, if indeed it's going to bear fruit, and that depends on the type of soil that they have. But if you do have that, even more will be given. If you don't, it's going to fade away to nothing. Therefore, verse 13, because of all this, I speak to them in parables Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, as I'm trying to reach them a different way. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, seeing you will see and you will not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Note that, I have that underlined, has grown dull. Listen, no child starts out with a dull heart, no child. Children start out with a very supple heart for the things of God. Children naturally believe in God. Listen, before I ever knew the Lord, I didn't come to the Lord until I was 25 years old. When I was a kid, I knew that God was real. I knew he was. And you did too. When you were a kid, if you're able to think back on it, listen, nobody is born an agnostic. Nobody's born an atheist. It is something that you are taught, and it is something that happens over time as the heart grows dull. And that's all the more reason, moms and dads, take those beautiful little hearts, take the golden seeds of God's word and sow it abundantly in their little hearts. Don't just let people do it in kids' church. That's great. I'm glad we have kids' church. But mom and dad, throughout the week, you need to be working the fields. You need to be planting that seed. You need to be reading the word of God to them. All that going in there, because right now, this is the moment. This is the freshest, darkest, blackest potting soil you're ever going to see in their entire life. Take advantage of it. Just let it soak in, because as they get older, if you don't, they're going to grow harder. The sin of the world, the deception of the world, the things of the world, you've got to plant that in there. Take advantage. That's why I encourage you, even now, you know, in babies, in the history of Israel, they would always take the baby when they were first born and begin to share the word of God with them. And I've already started doing that with my granddaughter. Pour the seeds in there. Get that fertile soil while it's still fertile, because it's going to grow dull. And their hearts, notice this, their hearts had grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they, note that, their eyes, they have closed. He's saying, I'm not closing their eyes. I'm not hiding anything by using parables. They chose to close their eyes. They chose to harden their heart. They chose to grow dull. I'm trying to break through. I'm trying to use analogies. I'm trying to give pictures. I'm trying to reach them in any way that they'll listen. And a great illustration or an analogy is a great way to reach people that are hardened. He says, that's what I'm trying to do, but they chose it. They've done it. I didn't do it. He said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and their hearts with their hearts and turn. That is repent. If they would simply repent, I would receive them. He said, so that I should heal them. And the same thing is true for all of us in this room today. If you will simply ask God to forgive you, if you know you're living in sin, you're not walking with God, all you have to do is say, God, forgive me. And I want to encourage you, even if you're one of these soils, and the Lord's going to give more about the soils in a moment, you can cry out to God and say, God, change the soil of my heart. Even if your heart is so hard, you don't desire God. Maybe you came to church today for whatever the reason. Somebody invited you. You just decided to come. I don't know. God brought you here. You may not realize that. But you're like going, I don't know what I think about this and how long is this going to go and I don't really care. If you can hear at all, he who has ears, let him hear. If you can hear God's Spirit speaking to you in even the smallest way, then say this to God. Say, God, please, I don't really seem to care that much, but if this is real, make me care. Change my heart. Soften it. You know, I'll give you a shot, Lord. Work in me. Do something here. Ask him to. Because if you give God an opportunity, he'll be happy to do that. It's those who say, I don't want you, that it never happens. And notice this. Now he turns back to his disciples, and we're included in this. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. It's such a blessing that you can do that. He says, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired, that means greatly desired, to see what you see and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear and they did not hear it. That is, all the prophets before you, they would have loved to have seen the Messiah. They would have loved to have known what they were doing. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that oftentimes the prophets were writing down the word of God and they didn't even know what they were writing. Can you imagine the spirits moving like, oh, wow, okay, oh, oh, wow, what is this? What does this mean? You know, this is, I just wish I knew what this meant. I have no idea, but I know it's you, God, and I feel your spirit. He says they wanted to know. They wanted to know that it was about me. They wanted to know the Messiah. He says, therefore, now he goes on to explain the different soils and give examples here. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower, speaking to his disciples and now speaking to us. Let us hear. First of all, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that is, the seed is the word of God, and they do not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That is, the birds represent the evil realm. And when the seed is planted and it bounces off of the hardened heart, Satan can't wait just to grab it and say, you know what, I'm glad that service is over. Let's get out of here. There's a ball game today. Are you hungry? I'm hungry too. Let's go. And the service means absolutely nothing to your heart. Again, if that's where you are and you recognize that, even now you're saying, this means nothing at this point. Ask for mercy from God. Not because of the speaker. It has nothing to do with me. It's the word of God that can't penetrate your heart. And he says, here's the deal. He said, they don't understand it. Even what they have, the enemy's going to come and immediately pluck it right away. You won't even get out of the building probably before the enemy silences everything. He says, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. The beaten down path is so hard in the heart that no seed of God can even penetrate it or get in. He goes on now to the second one. Notice this. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution, that is the heat, comes, arises, notice this, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Again, this is the person that has some soil that's good and a lot of rocks, and there's no real depth. This is the kind of person, and I've seen this over the years, they'll come to church, they give their life to the Lord, end quote. They're so excited for 4, 5, 6 months, bouncing around about the things of God, and suddenly they just disappear. I'm not talking about those that go to another fellowship. That happens, and that's great. I'm talking about those who walk away from God. Well, I'm not saying I want you to leave. Don't get me wrong. I came across wrong. But I'm talking about those who just walk away from everything. And then you begin to go, hey, have you seen, Where is Jim? I haven't seen Jim in a while. Yeah, he was so excited. He was so enthusiastic. He's kind of disappeared. And you wonder, where is he? Yeah, I noticed he's gone. And maybe you run into Jim somewhere and like, hey, what's going on? We're missing your church. Yeah. Maybe I'll come back sometime. Maybe I will. But you can already tell. They want nothing to do with it. Because they're that type of soul. There's no depth of character. There's no root system that can take root. And here's the deal. Notice this. He says, they fall away because of the word. Here's how this happens. This is the type of person, they believe until they get around their friends. And they say, yeah, I've given my life to the Lord. And all that. What? You got religion on me? Well, I mean, you know, I start going to church and, you know, yeah, I go to church now. You mean you need to tell me you believe in God? You believe these things about God? You believe the Bible? What, a fish swallowed some guy and spit him up 3 days later? You think the earth was created in 6 days? What a fool you are. You really believe that stuff? Well, I mean, I'm kind of new at this. I'm kind of, I can't believe, man. You used to be cool. What's going on with you? You know? Well, yeah, I mean, maybe I don't believe it that much. And then they walk away. See, when the sun gets too hot, the pressure of the friendship is more important than God. The pressure at work is more important than making a stand for Christ. Listen, if you can't stand on the word of God and say, you know what, the world's going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to do all kinds of things. If you can't stand there and say, I hate this, but I'm not going anywhere, you need to pray for God to give you a better root system. You just say, God, you've got to make my soil better. You've got to let my roots go deeper because no one likes it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying pray for you. You're not going to like being mocked. You're not going to like the world making fun of you, but you should be able to stand there no matter how hot the heat gets and say, you know what? I know you don't believe this. I know this is tense, but I'm not going anywhere. I know what Jesus said. I believe the word of God and I'm standing on it. This is the person that doesn't have that character. They don't have that soil. And again, when I say that, if you're saying, that's me this morning, but don't panic, ask God to change it. Ask God to give you a deeper soil. A deeper character that can make a stand regardless of who rejects you and make it your desire to please God regardless of what people think, because this is about the Lord and this is about your eternity. That's the second type of soil that's in here, probably. Here's the third type. Notice what he says. He says next, verse 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. Aren't there a lot of cares of the world? And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is the person that has so much busyness in their life. So many things choking out. All the goals they're after, all the things they want to do, all the things they want to achieve, all the things they want to be. They're so busy with the cares of this world and the weeds of this life and the thorns of this life, if you will, although they might not see it that way, that although there's some good soil down there, when the seed lands on that soil, that seed goes, you know, let's grow. It tries to grow. What happens? The weeds grow around it, start choking it out. It tries to grow even taller. What happens? The thorns block it. And won't let it grow to fruition to produce fruit. And it's choked out because of the cares of the world. I've seen people like this over the years. And they talk about God. And they seem to appear to know God, to walk with God. But they're more concerned about all the things they're doing in the world. And God's kind of secondary. That's this kind of person. And again, if that's you this morning, here's what happened. It's going to choke out any fruit. You're not going to be able to produce any fruit. And note this. The first three in this category, none of them produce fruit. The only one that's going to produce fruit is the one in the category number 4. That is, the majority of those who hear the word of God are not going to produce fruit. Don't be in the majority. Be in the minority. Be in that 25% that say, Lord, whatever you have to do in my life, I want to produce fruit. I want to do this for you, not just so that I might be saved, which is, again, your salvation forever, but also to produce fruit unto the Lord. Notice verse 23, but he who receives a seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That is, the area is cleared out. God has cleared out the weeds. God has cleared out the thorns. You're now available to say, Lord, plant your seed in my heart. Let it produce fruit of what you want it to produce in my life, and I'll receive it, God. Now, again, he goes on to give another parable and, again, uses some of the same analogies to drive this home, again, of this whole planting and working in the fields. Again, this was something they would have understood because of being that agrarian society. And notice what he says. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So here's the Lord. We talked about his word being seed. Now we see seed is also people. It says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Now, why did the tares also appear? Let's talk about this for a moment. What are the tares? The tares are what they call in the Middle East the bearded darnel. And what that is, it looks exactly like real wheat, but it's fake. And the farmers over there say, you cannot tell the difference. When the bearded darnel are growing and the wheat are growing side by side, it looks exactly like wheat. And they grow and they grow and they grow, like the Lord is saying. How do you identify that they're tares? How do you identify that they're not? And notice it says here, it says, when the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares appeared also. Why did the tares appear? This is so great, guys. You know how they identified in that day, the way they identified the wheat from the tares? They let them grow together. And when the wheat developed fruit in the stalk, it would bow down. And the tares would remain standing upright. And the farmer said, that's the real wheat, and that's the fake. And what the Lord is going to show us is that the enemy actually will send people into the real church, people who claim they're believers, among the wheat. And the way you're going to know the wheat from the tares is the wheat are those that are bowing in reverence and humility before God. Let me give you an example of this. I see this, you know, throughout the years I've seen this as a pastor. And I'll give you an example. People oftentimes come up and they'll say, could you pray for me? I know that I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I just need prayer. And it's sweet before God. It's a sweet moment. It's like, yes, let's pray. This is sweet. Let's get it right with God. Confess it. And of course, they've already confessed it, but they want their pastor to pray for them. And the first thing they do when they walk up to me is they bow. Not to me, to God. They're like, I want to make sure I clear that up. They bow before the Lord. And you'll see that kind of bowing. Here's where I see it in believers oftentimes. They'll come up and they'll start talking. And then if some kind of sin gets revealed or something they're telling, you can just kind of see in their heart going, I know this isn't right. And sometimes they'll visibly bow. Sometimes they'll just bow in heart. And that's so blessed, so pleasing to the Lord to say, you know what? God sees your heart. Let's pray right now and get it right. And that's a blessing. And then you'll see other people come up and they'll just start talking. You know, yeah, it's good to be here and kind of nice. Glad we came today. My girlfriend and I are here and we're glad to be here. I said, great. Good to have you guys. You guys, do you live around here? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we live around here. Been here a while. We thought we'd come check out the church, you know. We just got a place together and I've been, we got a place together. I see. Okay. It's your girlfriend. Yeah, it's your girl. Okay. So, has anybody ever shared the Lord with you? Oh, well, no, I'm a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord for years. So you go, okay. So tell me about that. Well, yeah, they give you whatever and you just say, what do you know? The Bible says that you're not supposed to be living with someone you're not married to. And the Bible says you're not supposed to be especially being physical with someone you're not married to. Well, don't judge me, brother. You watch the terror rise up. I've seen it over and over. The terror will rise up. Don't judge me, man. You know what the believer does? Oh, I can't believe you said that, Pastor. I need to get this right. They bow because they love God and they're true wheat and they have fruit. Whereas the terror stands upright. No one will tell me what to do. Now listen, when that happens, I don't look and go, you're a terror in the name of Jesus. No. You know what? That tells me right there what I need to know. And this is something you need to know as a believer. It's good to be able to identify the wheat from the tares. And here's why. Now you know what to do. Let's talk a little bit about your salvation experience. Why don't you tell me about it? Did you ever really repent? Did you? And you begin to talk to them, and you may have a chance to lead them to the Lord. But if you think they're a believer because they tell you that you are, but you can tell they're not really, you're not going to give them the gospel. And you're not going to pray for them. And so, you know, again, you need to be able to recognize whether or not this is the real or whether or not it's the fake. And so he says, you'll know the tares appeared because, again, the wheat are bowing down. Look at verse 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the day, the time of harvest. And I'll say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, let them grow together. He's given a picture we'll see next week of the very end. When he gathers everyone together for judgment, he'll separate the real from the fake, those who are pretending from those who are real. Those that are real will go into the kingdom. Those that won't will be eternally separated out, you know, again from the Lord. And so he gives this whole picture here talking about this. But the problem with the tares is, they don't do it now because their roots intertwine. Let me just challenge you with this today. Listen, which type of soil are you? I want you to examine your own heart. Are you producing fruit? If you're not producing fruit, you need to ask why. First of all, am I a hardened heart that is not even allowing the word of God to come in? Number two, am I shallow where I don't have a full commitment to the Lord? Number three, am I so busy with all the things of life and the cares of this world that no fruit can be produced, or am I producing fruit? And again, just some of you might even say, you know what? Well, I know that I'm a believer, but I don't see a lot of fruit in my life. Listen, if we were to go to court today, could you prove to me that you were a believer? Let's say we're standing before the judge and we're standing before the jury and there they are and you say, you know, I'm going to be my own, you know, lawyer or whatever. You go first. Yes. Well, you know what? I grew up in church and my parents were saved. And so I've just kind of always believed in God. And there's my, you know, so I'm a believer. And they say, well, can I cross-examine your honor? Yes, go ahead. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, do you have any desire for the Bible? Do you ever read it? Well, I mean, when I went to church, I heard the pastor, you know, read it. Okay. Second question, do you ever pray? You ever have any desire to pray? Well, before meals. Yeah, before meals. Yeah, well, that's cultural. Have you ever just desired to pray apart from that? Well, you know, I almost went I wrecked one time. Okay, all right. Did you ever see a change in your life where you turned away from your sin? I'm not talking about perfection, but you turned away from your sin and you began to try to follow the Lord. Well, I've just kind of always followed the Lord. Your Honor, I submit to you that although he says he is, I find no evidence that this man even knows the Lord. What would that be for us if we stood before the Lord today? What would that be? Would there be any evidence? Would there be any fruit in our life to prove that we even know the Lord? Listen, I say this to challenge us because you need to make sure that you can prove by the fruit of your life that you're a true believer. And you need to make sure you have the right kind of heart and the right kind of soil or nothing's ever going to take root and grow. So as we finish today, I want to pray for God to soften hearts that need to be softened, for God to, again, water the seeds that are being received in the heart. And if God has shown you that maybe you're not a believer, but a make-believer, that you make a true commitment by saying, Lord, you know what? I really have no evidence to show that I'm yours. And if there's no kernels at the end of the grain, how do you know you're not just a tare? You need to take it to the Lord and ask him. And if you know God begins to reveal to you that it's not there, you need to now confess your sin and say, Lord, I now choose to follow you. I give my life to you. Do what you need to do in my life to make it work.
Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Does your stress level climb when the price of gas rises? Have your hours been cut back at work? Are the bills piling up? Is it all too much to handle? Listen to this call of Jesus and let the peace wash over you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These verses are found in the book of Matthew, the same book Pastor Mark is teaching from today's message. When the world feels like it's just too much, reach out for Jesus. He is always right there for you, ready to give you rest. And as a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville, Come to the Table is here to bring you biblical teaching that you can rely on through the hard times. For more messages like today's, you can head over to thewaymedia.net. There's a tab labeled Come to the Table, where you'll find many more messages from different books of the Bible. And while you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. Come to the Table is a radio ministry that comes from the teachings of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the East Tennessee neighborhood, we'd love to have you drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Mark has more to share from Matthew. So we hope you can be with us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.